Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino all joining you. Joining us now on the Meijer Supercenter guest line covering the Detroit Lions for M Live, our good friend Ben Raven. You can find him on Twitter at Benjamin S. Raven. This is a family affair now. The Detroit Lions, the team he covers, take on the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Coincidence? I think not, Ben. My friend, how are you, man?
Not too bad. A quick story, super quick. I just remember when the Ravens were inaugural season, my grandpa, who has since passed, bought a bunch of Ravens gear. So that's on the nose right there with that name.
Hey, man. Hey, you know what? Shout out to Grandpa, too. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah. You know, grandparents, they play such an important and pivotal role in all of our lives. My grandmother just passed a few months ago, and that's it for all of my grandparents. And you get to that stage in life where you start to realize, like, yeah, and it's without me going too deep off a cliff right now, it's like, yeah, it's a special times when you're a kid, right? You don't realize it. You know, you just think that, hey, they're here forever. But back to the sports, not trying to get all worked up right now.
We took such a weird turn out of the bat.
Didn't expect that, Benjamin. But you know what? That's radio for you, right? You never know where we're going to go with this thing. Speaking of weird, unexpected turns, right? There was that the questions that were being asked of Coach Dan Campbell, on Monday, I believe the first presser was, and they asked about Alex Anzalone, and he had said, well, Alex was all over the field. And they asked about Jamie Collins. Well, Jamie Collins isn't running basically with the same motor, I'm paraphrasing here, as Anzalone, but he was around. When I heard those comments, I thought, okay, here's Dan Campbell, a little bit of a call out on Jamie Collins when talking about like effort and, you know, getting around there with the motor, but very much kind of still trying to stick up for his guys and not throwing Anzalone under the bus. When you heard those comments prior to what happened yesterday afternoon, now when you heard those comments, what was your take on Dan Campbell, those individual comments themselves, and the linebacking play as a whole from Monday night?
The transparency hit me in like slow waves, and we talked about that a lot, but just like, I mean, the openness and the honestness to talk about that Jamie might not go as hard as Alex. I mean, that number one, that blew me away, but number two, the linebacker play. I mean, I get what he's saying about Anzalone being in on every play and the motor running. I mean, you see that kind of stuff without question, but anytime a running back scores three touchdowns in the passing game on you, it starts with the linebackers. And I mean, Jamie Collins is at fault, in my opinion, for the most of the issues in that last game, because I mean, I see people trying to bring Anzalone down on that pass over the top to Tanya. And I mean, there's no stopping that pass. He was right there. That's a perfect pass. But nonetheless, it was still really sloppy linebacker play. And I mean, going into a matchup with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, that's not what you want to see out of your linebackers. Because I mean, those three touchdowns by Aaron Jones, I mean, they made those look easy with just a simple little pre-snap motion and a simple block at the line, and Collins and Anzalone looked lost. I mean, for the linebacker room moving forward, though, I mean, it means we're going to get to see fourth-round rookie Derek Barnes, and we'll get to see if that hype is real.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to see if that hype is real off the bat, big time.
And no doubt about it. And obviously, you know, with the preseason that he had, he was a guy flying all around the field. And I get, you know, second and third teamers, but these are guys that they might be second or third teamers, but they're going all out because they're trying to make sure that they have secured a roster spot. So I don't want to take too much away from a guy that really, really performed well throughout the preseason. And I get mocked every once in a while because I really like Derek Barnes, and he didn't play any snaps in the game against Green Bay. And that was kind of a head scratcher because I want to see what the young fellas got. And it will be, you know, interesting to see him kind of fly around the field. And maybe this could be a piece that is, you know, integral to this franchise moving forward. Then there was the news yesterday as it was all unfolding, as I'm texting you, you're like, we got media availability. I'm hanging out with Campbell right now. We're talking about it. And I was like, my man, there he is. He's right in the locker room. But Jamie Collins was held out of practice, and the practice report came out, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And he was held out, and there was no real reason. It wasn't injury-related. And then the news drops, after he's been held out of practice, that he's been the subject of trade discussions between Detroit and other teams. According to sources, Lions have fielded some calls. They're exploring a trade involving Collins there. Now the pieces of the puzzle kind of seem to be coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sheer transparency in his comments paired with that news, yeah, absolutely. Everything's starting to come a little bit. And then, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to get one of the struggling pieces out of the way to kind of see what your young guys get. Because, I mean, that linebacker room without Jamie Collins in it is unbelievably young, with Anzalone at 27, Barnes at 22, Reeves Maven 26, Pittman 24, and then Beckett on the practice squad at 23. I mean, that's a young, young group that's kind of reminiscent of that cornerback room there if they are able to move Collins. And I will say this, Colin signed that 3-year, $30 million deal last year, and it sounds hard to trade on paper, but they did rework his deal in the offseason, so it's going to be a lot easier to move that dead money and those cap savings for other teams if he is moved. I mean, I'll just say this. I wouldn't expect to get anything too notable back in a trade for Jamie Collins after the way he's played over this kind of year plus here in Detroit. So don't get the hopes up for too high, Lions fans, but there's no reason somebody wouldn't take a chance on him.
Now, Benjamin, with the 0-2 start yesterday, I spent a lot of the time, basically asking the audience, because you know, Dan Campbell did the thing where he opened up his eyes on the presser, and that got blown way out of proportion, as just about everything that he says does. I can't for the life of me seem to figure out why, because as you mentioned, there is a transparency here that we just haven't had, and we haven't had it at minimum over the last 3 years. We all know that. I mean, that was a really tough, difficult to even get anybody to say anything about anything. But, you know, Dan Campbell just being an honest, genuine guy, I don't see anything wrong with it. And sure, when my people might say, oh, it's goofy, you know, he's holding his eye. If in the context of the interview and in the press conference, the question asked, you know, about him looking tired and him questioning the reporters, like, are you guys tired right now? Like, everybody's tired. It's Monday morning. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with that. And I can't understand why people are making such a big deal out of it.
People get so caught up in this idea of what a winning head coach looks like. And the argument is always, see, a winning head coach looks like this, not like this. And it's just the one thing I would tell anybody who has a problem with that is that's authenticity. Dan Campbell is not playing a character. He's not trying to be this goofy guy. I mean, it was a goofy back and forth with reporters after a Monday night game. Nobody had slept. We all looked like crap. We got bags under our eyes, and Dan Campbell's making fun of us. I mean, asking us how tired we are. I mean, it's authentic. It's not a game. I mean, I think authentic is better than any, like, put-together gimmick, whether it's the serious man or the goofy guy, whether it's year one or year 20. Just be yourself. The only way – one of my favorite things I've ever heard in life is the only way it can work is if you be yourself. That's the only way it can work, to be authentic, to be yourself. Will it work? Who knows? That's not saying it will work. That's just saying the only way it can work is if you're just yourself. And that's what Dan Campbell is. I don't see a problem in it. I think it's just people reading way too much into things, looking to get stuff going. It's authentic. It's goofy, yes, but it's authentic. It doesn't mean he's not going to holler at his players for messing up and he's not going to take his job serious. He's just being himself. And that's what you should want after the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I really hope that just, throughout the course of his tenure here in Detroit, I hope that he doesn't lose that, and I hope that he isn't discouraged by that, and I hope that he continues just to be himself, because like you said, there's no carbon cutout for a winning coach. You think Mike Tomlin has the same personality as, like, Bill Belichick? Do you think that either of those guys, you know, sound the same as Urban Meyer? Like, you know, all of these coaches are all so much different because they are different people. Yesterday, I spent a ton of time, Benjamin, talking about this Lions team and asking the good people of the state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio, what are you so angry about? What did you expect? I saw a statistic floating around, the first time ever that the Lions had given up 35 points in consecutive games to start a season. Hello, we're playing the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers on the road in Lambeau, which is way better to play them in September than it is in, like, December over there in Lambeau. But they're both teams that have expectations of going to the playoffs. The Lions do not. There might have been some weird disbelief that the Lions are going to be able to contend in the NFC North this year, which is awesome. I want them to go undefeated every year. It's just not the case. I don't get why everybody is so upset. They've made both of the games competitive and fun for viewers, at least through a half.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if anybody had greater expectations than this, I mean, they were looking into the wrong looking glass, because, I mean, honestly, making that a one-score game, having a chance in the red zone in the final minutes against the 49ers, just a nightmare first matchup for a first-year coach, for a first-year coordinator on the defensive side of the ball, taking over that group, facing Kyle Shanahan's group in the opener. And then week two, going to Green Bay and facing Aaron Rodgers. And going into the half with a lead, mind you. I mean, this team's not just folding. They're not bending over. I mean, it's a brutal schedule without question. And like you said, if anybody looked at this schedule a month ago and expected this team to walk out with maybe one at best win through the first three games, and I don't know what they were looking at, because, I mean, this is clearly a rebuild mode. We've said it. The coaches have said it. Everybody on the outside looking in has said it. This is a rebuild. They're not going to beat teams like the 49ers and Packers this year, and that's okay, because they're not built to do that this year.
Thank you. If I could just clip that and run it on Twitter 24/7 all day long, like, hey, you click on my profile. They're not built to do that this year. Like, exactly. I love that quote that you had from Michael Brockers as well as, like, Lions getting, you know, what do they have to do to try to stop the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? And he said population of the ball with people ripping and stripping at it. I love that. I don't know how they stop this Baltimore team. I mean, we're talking about a team that's got a lot of offensive firepower. They're blowing through running backs like it's their day job, right? Everybody's just injured in the backfield, and somehow they still go out there and compete. They come back and they win against Kansas City. Statement game in the AFC playoff picture already in week number two. This Ravens team is scary, man.
No, absolutely. I mean, the fact that their defense kept Kansas City out of the end zone in that fourth quarter, intercepted Mahomes, forced the fumble, recovered it, take the lead late. I mean, Lamar, say what you will about his throwing ability, but two rushing touchdowns where it's the hardest place to get them in the fourth quarter against a team like that, the dude can make plays. And Tim 20man, shout out to him for this stat earlier in the day. The Ravens have 41 straight games with 100 yards rushing. So, yeah, they've lost about 9 running backs, it feels like, in the last week, and they're still just pounding that rock. So, I mean, this team, I mean, the scheme is built around Lamar Jackson, and it fits him well. And they're scary when they get going because that guy is a human highlight reel, and that phrase gets thrown around a lot, but he's the living definition of it right now. And I'd be getting my butt to that game if I were a fan of this team, for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. Ford Field should be rocking at 1 o'clock. Calvin Johnson, the bust, is going to be on display along with Alex Karras, so that'll be cool as well for Lions fans. You know, we all know about TJ Hockenson and Jared Goff. He's taken a lot of flack already. Like, you know, you talk about Jeffrey Okuda goes down with an Achilles injury, so the scapegoat immediately is going to go to Goff, right? I mean, there's just people have, like, an APB out for Jeff Okuda on every single play, and it's just like he's a young man trying to play and trying to learn how to guard professional receivers. Sorry he's not playing Illinois today, folks. My bad. But we knew TJ Hockenson was going to be good. We saw that last year. That pass that he caught, that throw from Jared Goff in the corner of the end zone, that thing was damn near perfect. I mean, that was, and you look at his production all game long, 8 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. Those two obviously have that connection, that trust level that just exists, and that could be something, you know, that's going to be very special this season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Hockenson, arrow off all day. I mean, even after last year, I was telling people, he's going to flirt with 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, he's going to lead this team in targets without question. And, I mean, to see the chemistry with Goff and Hockenson, I mean, from day one where we got to see Jared Goff at practice, you could see that these two are going to work together. I mean, you see them huddling together on the side all the time. The chemistry is real. They're buddies. They hang out. You know, Hockenson made a point to say that. Like, yeah, Stafford and I had a great relationship, but he's got 4 kids running around. He's a decade older than me. We're not exactly hanging out and going out at night. I hang out with Jared. We're about the same age. And I think they spend a lot of time together. And, I mean, it's paying off. I mean, that chemistry is weird, real. Like you said, that's throwing the end zone. That was something special. And that's when Goff really looks his best. I mean, you look at that first half. They were rushing to the line. It wasn't exactly a hurry-up offense. They weren't snapping it right away, but they were rushing to the line, letting Goff set the offense and kind of getting it out quick with those looks in the flats, those looks over the middle to Hockenson. I mean, that's a safety valve and then some. I mean, Dan Campbell defended that 4th-and-1 play call, trying to get one to Cephas, is saying we wanted to get it to Hockenson. It just didn't work out. So he's the go-to guy, 100%. And I mean, he's going to have a heck of a season. I think he's already well on his way to setting some records for this team that position.
No doubt. I mean, franchise type of player right there. What do you make of the rest of the receiving core? Obviously, Tyrell Williams not in the game on Monday night, but Quintez Cephas had that big, like, kind of broken, you know, backyard play, scrambling, or just run. I'm going to try to, here, I point over here, you go over there, I throw the ball over there, you catch it, then you run. That type of deal. But Khalif Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Trinity Benson, the guy, who the hell is Trinity Benson, right? He had a catch for 24 yards. An awesome quote by Brad Holmes, by the way. I just like these guys are all fun, man. At least they're all honest and they're all football guys, and I love them for it. But what do you make about this receiving core sans Tyrell Williams, you know, moving forward? What's an area that they need to improve on, if any? You know, how can Jared Goff maybe utilize those guys in the perimeter more?
Yeah, I think he's getting into that nice rapport with Quintez Cephas. Obviously, a really nice first drive in Green Bay. I mean, the 46-yard catch and then getting open in the end zone, getting both feet down, getting open for his quarterback on a little broken play. I mean, they need some more of that. They need a guy that can go up and get a ball. You know, Raymond, St. Brown, two very different guys. I mean, Raymond, obviously, they're trying to get him the ball in space on those jet sweeps and stuff like that. I mean, watch out for him because he's kind of he's the shiftiest player on that roster, and they're going to find a way to get him the ball and showcase that. But you know, I like what I've seen from St. Brown too. Obviously, he's not stuffing the stat sheet, but that physical brand in the slot is showing up. He's a crisp route runner, and I think it's going to come for him. I think he's going to start to see some targets. He's going to start to kind of rack up some catches in that offense. And, you know, Trinity Benson, I think he had that one catch. He took it 24 yards. I mean, I think that's the one thing that's going to play to his advantage. He's fast. All these guys have something. Quintez Cephas is kind of a Kenny Galladay light type where he can go up and get you a ball in the end zone. He can be that fade guy. He can be that physical guy. And the rest of them offer a different brand to just take the top off speed and athleticism. So it's an interesting group. I mean, Cephas, the last 2 weeks, you know, I was never low on him, but I didn't really get the hype on him. But these last 2 weeks, and especially some of the things he did in Green Bay, I was kind of seeing eyebrow up, like, okay, I start to see something here. There might be a number two, a number one D type guy right here.
Last one here for you, Ben, as we look forward in the crystal ball that we don't have, because if we did, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this. We'd be doing this, you know, from like the Mediterranean or somewhere. But the Baltimore Ravens, it might be a foregone conclusion. We hope to see a good fight out of this team and make it competitive. When you look at the schedule, where do you see this Lions first win coming?
Chicago. I did have them. That was the one thing I did in my season predictions that I will stick to. I had them losing these first three games. I had them going into Chicago and beating the Bears. I think they can beat that Bears team. I think it starts there. I think the Bears, I mean, Bears, Vikings, Bengals. The Vikings are solid. We know about the Vikings, but that's a winnable stretch of games right there. And, you know, even this team showing the fight that they have, they could come out of that three-game stretch with two wins. I think they'll get one. I think it'll happen in Chicago.
There he is, Benjamin S. Raven on Twitter is where you can find him. You find his work at M Live covering the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Benjamin, real quick, thumbs up, thumbs down, the all whites. You like those jerseys or not?
I loved them. I thought they looked really good under the lights on TV. I'd like to see those some more. I thought that was a good look.
Fan of the all whites. Ben, my friend, as always, thank you so much for the time, my man. We greatly appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.